Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Ruthie Bloom, it's my honor to welcome you in this morning. Good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So take us, if you will, because some people, I mean, obviously everyone was heartened to think, okay, good, the hostages are coming home. We've been praying for them many, you know, across Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the nation, the world, really, praying for these hostages and thinking about them. But take us through why this is important, and I believe you're going to say this, why the Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, thinks it's important to just put a delay, put a hold on this right now.
Okay, so first of all, the real reason that he's putting a hold on it is that Hamas at the last minute already violated one of the clauses of the agreement that was ostensibly reached between Hamas, Qatar, Egypt, the United States, and Israel. And that clause was that Israel had the right to veto which Palestinian terrorists would be released from Israeli jails as part of this quote-unquote exchange. I mean, it's terrible to call it that because the hostages are innocent victims of a brutalist attack, as you pointed out, and the terrorists in jails are perpetrators of attacks against innocent people. So, you know, even putting them on a par is disgusting in the first place. And in the second place, for every hostage released, there's something like 50 terrorists going to be released from jail. So the real reason he put it on, paused it, is he told his negotiators in Doha, Qatar, to make sure that that clause is honored. Because Hamas, you know, at the last minute, listen, it's a terrorist organization. Okay, so if they kill and maim and rape, they certainly are capable of lying and backing out of deals.
And so, you know, as far as I know that the Prime Minister Netanyahu had actually, there was an accusation of a last minute blackmail attempt with regard to Hamas. Can you expound on that at all?
Well, it's really extortion because this is what the terrorists do. They say, okay, we'll agree to this. And then at the last minute, they up the ante. And the trouble is because, as you point out, rightly, the whole world was, you know, celebrating, heaving a sigh of relief that we're going to see the hostages back. Although Israelis are a little more divided on that because in the first place, not all the hostages are going to be returned because Hamas, that's its only leverage now. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, Hamas wouldn't even give a list of which hostages are alive or which ones are going to return in the first phase of this supposedly three-phase deal. And also parents of soldiers who are also parents, perhaps, of people killed on October 7th, are saying, you mean our sons died in vain in this war to defeat Hamas? And then there are the parents, as you also pointed out, you said you have kids that age who are kidnapped or killed. Well, imagine the parents of the boys who are 19-ish, as you said, whose sons are not on the list of the ones being returned in the first phase. And they fear, rightly, that if they're not returned altogether, if all the 98 who are remaining hostages are not returned together, that their sons will be left there for, forever maybe. Or because, again, Hamas has no incentive to return all the hostages, dead or alive. By the way, Hamas understands that Israel also considers those who were killed and are still their bodies are in Gaza, yes, as crucial, because they have to be returned for a proper burial and their families need closure. So, you know, the whole situation is terrible. It's a terrible deal, but Netanyahu was willing to make it. He's been willing to make it throughout the Biden administration, and Hamas kept saying no. The reason Hamas now is saying yes does have to do with the fact that it's been decimated, and also that President-elect Trump threatened that all hell would break loose, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The trouble is that Trump said that, but then he sent his prospective envoy to go to Doha and basically say, make a deal, and then go to Jerusalem and pressure Netanyahu to make a deal. And it was more, I have to say, sort of reminiscent of Biden's pressure than Trump's threat.
And so with that, and that's an interesting perspective here, because on one hand, you have Steve Witkoff, who I suspect Netanyahu is more likely to trust him, perhaps. But on the other hand, you do have this pressure. So how does that work? And with the latest with Netanyahu this morning and making this announcement, and apparently there was a video that was released. That's what we're hearing, Ruthie, that there was a video that was released that showed that Hamas, that some of these terrorists were talking about their pride in that deadly terror attack, October 7th. That obviously does not go over well. And then that they were making future threats as well. So can you give us some perspective on all of that?
Yes. Well, okay. As to your first point about trusting yes, Trump's envoy. Well, of course, there's reason for Israel to trust the incoming Trump administration more than the outgoing Biden administration, just because of behavior and public statements. Biden has been pressuring Israel, tying Israel's hands throughout the war. Whereas Trump's picks for all the important, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, National Security Advisor, they have all been extremely staunch about Israel and saying, no, we are not going to withhold weapons. We are going to have Israel back. Don't worry, we're not going to let Hamas remain in power. So there is reason to trust that. However, the question is, okay, so now that Hamas has been decimated, Hezbollah in Lebanon has been, basically destroyed. Iran's defenses have been weakened severely. The Assad regime in Syria fell. The conditions are riper to make a deal, even though it's a bad deal. And I suspect, and again, this is not from inside knowledge, okay? I need to stress that. I suspect that there's something going on behind the scenes between the Trump appointees and Trump himself and Netanyahu that has to do with Iran, which, after all, is the head of this octopus.
Yeah.
All of these terrorists are proxies of Iran. And, without defeating Iran, the Iranian regime, that is, not the people, you're really not going to solve the problem at all. So I think that it's possible that behind the scenes, Netanyahu is being assured, listen, if you sign this deal, yeah, it's a crappy deal and all that. However, the real perpetrator is Iran, and we won't stop you from, bombing its nuclear facilities, taking out the Ayatollahs, perhaps. But the one thing, and America might provide, the right weapons such as bunker busters to do this.
And so, Ruthie, and I know that you're a New York native, but you've obviously lived you've lived in Israel since maybe the late 70s.
Yes, that's right. I've been in Israel, almost five decades. Yes, right.
And so for you, this is, this is personal. This is home. Where do you stand on all of this? I mean, on one hand, what was the reaction to when it was a January 7th that Trump made that statement, there will be hell to pay. And I agree with you. Even though Trump said Hamas, there's no question in my mind that he was telling Iran, because he's talked about this before, that the way that he was able to control things when he was president was he made sure that they were broke. I mean, that's real. So I know that in Iran, they know he means business. And when he says hell to pay, he knows they know who he's directing that toward. But what was the reaction as you, you know?
Yes, the reaction was elation. Okay, other than from the far left in Israel, all right? But everybody, even those who are not crazy about Netanyahu, you know, there's Israel is a democracy. There's a lot of political infighting. But other than the far left, Israelis were elated when Trump said that. And first of all, Israel has experience with Trump's first term in office. And he implemented policies one after the other that were fantastic for Israel. And then, which culminated, by the way, in the Abraham Accords, this great peace deal between Israel and the Gulf states. It's amazing. But it wasn't just that. He moved the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He called Jerusalem Israel's capital. He recognized the Golan Heights as a part of Israeli sovereignty. He said, we're not using the word settlements in all our documents and, you know, the State Department documents. One after the other. And so when he says something, Israelis believe him. With justification. Mm-hmm. The only question is then why is he so thrilled with this bad deal? And that's why I go back to saying, why is he thrilled with it? And why was Netanyahu going to agree to it if it sounds as though it'll leave Hamas in power? And that's why the only theory I can come up with is that this is small fry compared to what the real aim is, and that will be to go after Iran.
Mm-hmm. Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I mean, he alludes, I know that he had posted on Truth Social, on his Truth Social site, we continue promoting peace through strength throughout the region. He talks about building momentum of, and that's the wording that caught my eye, Ruthie. He said, mm-hmm. We build upon momentum of this ceasefire to further expand the historic Abraham Accords. This is only the beginning of great things to come. And so that's, I think, you know, that's what I was wondering how you would read that, because as he looks at it, is he saying this deal is just the beginning as they look at the area and maybe focus in once he's president? He probably can't say a lot right now. That's, you know, until he's actually sworn in on the 20th.
Absolutely. Now, but Trump being Trump, he often says things, and I say that again as someone who's supportive of him. Okay, but Trump being Trump, he does speak in hyperbole, mm-hmm. and when he says, "Oh, the ceasefire and it's a momentum for peace in the region," strength through peace. One of the best things about the Abraham Accords, this is something that Trump deserves great credit for, is understanding that the road to peace in the Middle East does not pass through the Palestinians, mm-hmm. is not contingent upon Palestinian statehood. And he understood that in his gut, I suppose. You know, a lot of what Trump does is intuitive as opposed to intellectual. And that has worked really well. This deal is not a peace deal. Let's face it. Okay, you can't have peace with terrorists who continue to be terrorists and threaten to continue to do what they've been doing. But what you can do is say, yeah, well, fine and everything. But if you mess up, we're going after you. And anyway, don't think that this means that you're going to be rewarded with statehood when you're a bunch of terrorists. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that it really needs to be stressed, that the Abraham Accords, Trump always said to the Palestinians, you want to join, you want to jump on this peace bandwagon, you're more than welcome, and we will do anything to help you, help your society. But it's not contingent upon that. If you're not willing to reform and do what it needs to do to make peace, mm-hmm. well, too bad. We're going ahead without you. This is a departure from a left-wing view of the Middle East.
And I have two questions for you, and this is just because you are a true insider. Number one, as far as the coverage of, and this is, I think, embarrassing for America, across the nation, Ivy League schools, especially on the West Coast and in New York, when we saw those protests and Jewish students being attacked, anti-Semitic attacks on some of our most prestigious universities, and just some of the rhetoric that was in the media, that is, to me, it's abhorrent, and it was just downright, it was embarrassing for the country. That's just my opinion. But I think that there were many friends of mine who are Jewish Americans who voted for Trump, and they've never voted for a Republican at the top of the ticket before, because they said, I cannot vote at the top of the ticket for an administration that has allowed these anti-Semitic attacks against our kids, our college kids. What was the reaction in where you are in Israel? I mean, did you guys see what was happening on our college campuses, the media coverage, and how does that impact, you know, our friends and many Americans like you living in Israel?
Oh, of course. Israelis were paying very close attention. You see, what was really shocking to everybody, Israelis and I think all good people, people of sound mind all over the world, that October 7th, that massacre, rather than opening the world's eyes to what's going on and creating sympathy or empathy for the Jewish state, it had the opposite effect. It unleashed anti-Semitism, the likes of which we haven't seen probably since the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Because after the Holocaust, there was a taboo on expressions of open anti-Semitism, even by people maybe who were secretly anti-Semites or many who weren't. The point is, it was not acceptable. And suddenly, the October 7th massacre unleashed open anti-Semitism in the West. I mean, American Jews have always enjoyed, not always, always, but, you know, and certainly in recent history, total freedom and freedom from that kind of anti-Semitism. And suddenly, and in Australia and in Britain, all over the West, you were seeing not only anti-Israel rhetoric, which is also anti-Semitic, especially when it's, from the river to the sea, which really means annihilate the state of Israel. But not only that, but conspiracy theories about how Jews run the world and own the banks and blood libels, you know, anti-Semitism. Now, what I was going to say is, yes, we noticed that more Jews than previously had voted for Trump and never voted for a Republican. I was actually surprised that still not the majority of Jews did so, which is why I could always understand why Trump was puzzled. Like, why do the Jews, why do they do that? Okay. And I say, I'm with you, buddy. I don't get it myself. Okay. And I'm a Jew and I don't get it.
And the other question I had for you, because you've obviously, you know, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is sometimes the media here, I call them the corporate media, the legacy media, the bias. They will describe Prime Minister Netanyahu as a hard right, a far right leader. And yeah. Is that, I'll just ask, the, you know, I'm teeing this up. Is that true? Is he considered in Israel this far, far right leader?
Only by Israel's legacy media. We've got ours too, you know, okay? The bulk of the media. That's just the way the media. No, he's not a far right. It is true that the current government in Israel, and he heads that government, happens to have no left-wing parties in it, okay? So it is a right-wing government. But Netanyahu is basically smack in the center. And don't believe, I mean, you know, the left will tell you that he's far to the right. But actually, he is the majority center. And that's why he has the most amount of, his party has the most amount of seats. So the point is, it's not true that he's a far right leader. What he is very brilliant politician. Sometimes that's why he's hated so much, because they just can't defeat him at the ballot box. So they try to do it through lawfare, as we saw with President Trump, try to do it by, you know, criminalizing his behavior. They try to do it in every which way. And they have trouble doing it because he's not only a brilliant politician, but he really does represent the majority, the, you know, secular and religious, Ashkenazi and Mizrahi. In other words, Jews whose origin are from Europe and Jews whose origin are from the Middle East. He represents the greater majority than any other party. And that's why he has the biggest party, even if he weren't heading it. Okay. So that's the fact. And the left can't stand it. By the way, the far right also can't always stand, is not always thrilled with it either. And, you know, you see a parallel in America, too. With, you know, there are some MAGA Republicans to the far right of the MAGA spectrum.
Sure.
Who themselves are anti-Semitic and themselves are, you know, the way they hate neocons, you know, the way they attack. Well, in Israel, the far right, there are far right who think that Netanyahu is too weak and too far left. But the media in Israel, and I think the real tragedy is that the American media, I mean, and also European, they love to quote Israeli journalists who attack him, because then you see, you have, you see, even Israelis say this.
Yes.
But, you know, that's the way most of the media behaves.
Well, Ruthie Bloom, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you check out her great podcast, JNS TV. It's Israel Undiplomatic. Hope you come back. What a pleasure just to hear your insights there. And Godspeed. We'll be praying for you and praying that this can come to fruition to bring these hostages, either bring them home or at least bring closure to their families. Thank you, Ruthie.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.